Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you, and we praise the Lord for this radio station, for the provision, for the prayers, and all of the good messages the Lord has given us. And we thank the Lord for you, the listener, most of all, for your faithful listening, for your faithful attendance. And we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we've got another great message for you. We're going to be talking about the reality of hell. And this is a subject that many people debate about, but we're looking at God's Word. We're not going to check out people's opinions. We're going to God's Word, and we're going to see what Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and our Savior, says about the reality of separation from him, from his presence, and from eternal living and eternal joy with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned for this message. It's going to be a great one. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Coming to you from Kenya today, I'm going to give you a brief update on what's going on here in Kenya. We've been having a beautiful weather here, nice 85 degree days, and rain about every 3 or 4 days. The short rain season is starting, and so we're getting into high gear planting the second season of maize and beans, and today we're going to be planting some groundnuts. So we're thankful for that, thankful for the rain, thankful for the first season harvest. We had a great harvest of maize, the best we've ever done, a double portion of harvest. And so we thank the Lord for that. The children at the children's home are coming home from school. We have some in secondary boarding schools. We have some in public schools and some in local junior secondary schools. So they're all coming home. So we'll have them for 2 weeks. Then they go back for the last term up until December. And then this school year will be over. So we praise God for their schooling. Thank you for all who have helped supported this ministry that we can send people to school. And the church is going well. We have many people coming to the church that are needing help with maize, needing help with food. And so we're able to help them because we had an abundance in our own farm. And so that is a mission that we have, is to give people food when they come and they are in a needy situation. Well, today we're going to be talking about the reality of hell. And this is a message that isn't the most pleasant message that a person could be preaching. Of course, it's much easier to preach about the love of Jesus and the blessings of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, all those great attributes, the fruits of the Spirit. But there are times also when we need to confront, and I guess you would say face, the reality of hell, because many people are convinced that hell doesn't exist, and many people are convinced that it's not that big of a thing, it's not that bad of a situation. You even hear people say, well, I guess I'll just go to hell so I can keep partying with my friends. You've probably heard that many times, that people have a very shallow and diminished viewpoint of hell. And so it's good to take a look at hell, and it's good to take a look at what Jesus says about it, because some people, I've even heard some people say that Jesus never talked about hell. He just talked about the good things, you know, the heaven and all the wonderful attributes, all the beautiful things of heaven, and he never talked about hell. Basically, that is a viewpoint that we call universal salvation, that nobody will ever see the reality of hell in their life. Nobody will ever experience the reality of hell. And so I want to state categorically right up front that universal salvation is not a doctrine that is preached in the Bible. It is not a doctrine that Jesus himself taught. The words of Jesus speak against that. The words of Jesus are a testimony against that. The Bible says he came to save those who are lost. He came to save sinners that are lost. And the reason he came to save them was because the blood that he shed on the cross was able to cover their sin, and he can take us to heaven with him. But our God, Jehovah God, and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are in unity. They never contradict each other, and all of them are in agreement that our sins have to be accounted for, our sins have to be atoned for by the blood of Jesus. And when we do that, when we confess that we are a sinner, that we need the blood of Jesus, that we need a Savior, when we confess that, then our sins can be forgiven. Then our sins are washed away. They are recorded no more. They are remembered no more. And so at that point, then salvation is ours, and we can go into heaven when we die, when we take our last breath on this earth. Then we can go to heaven, and we spend eternity with Jesus. But Jesus was very clear in his descriptions of hell. He was very clear in saying that when people don't receive him as their Lord, and all through the Bible, this is very clear. And so if you believe in universal salvation, that somehow you're going to end up in heaven just by being a good person and by greeting people and being cheerful every day, that somehow you're going to end up in heaven, I beg you and I plead with you to listen carefully to this message today and get that idea of universal salvation out of your mind, because it is not taught in the Bible. It is not taught and it is not preached. And anybody who has been deceived by the devil and thinking that there is universal salvation is in jeopardy of spending eternity in hell away from Jesus Christ, away from God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So please listen carefully, because we're going to look at some words here of Jesus Christ. And also one we're going to start with is from John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. And these are the words of John the Baptist. And I'm going to start off with this because I want you to see that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, the one who came to make the way, to part the way for Jesus Christ, to say, to introduce baptism as a sacrament to wash away our sins, John the Baptist himself also was saying that there will be an unquenchable fire. Well, Matthew 3:12, John the Baptist says, when talking about Jesus, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Well, those of you who are farmers, and even if you don't know about farming, you've probably seen the combine in the field, and the chaff is going out the back end of the combine. The big rotors on the back end of the combine are blowing that chaff out. And the good grain, that 60-pound wheat or 62-pound wheat, the good grain goes up into the grain tank, and there it is kept until the grain tank is full. Then a grain cart comes up. You dump the wheat into the grain cart or into a truck, and then the truck takes it to the silo in the farmer's compound, or it takes it to the elevator in town. And so that is the process, and John the Baptist is speaking about an agricultural event or an agricultural experience that every farmer that was listening to him, every person that was listening to him, knew what he was talking about, because it was an agrarian culture. People were very familiar with the threshing floor. People were very familiar with the chaff. People were familiar with how the grain is cleaned out there at the threshing floor. And so John the Baptist says that the chaff will get burned up with unquenchable fire. Well, that is the description of hell. The unquenchable fire is a description of hell. And the chaff is that worthless stuff, that stuff that has no value, comes off of the grain, has no value to keep. And so that is why John the Baptist spoke about the unquenchable fire burning the chaff. That is a picture of hell right there. And John the Baptist is the first one in the New Testament that speaks about that. Well, Jesus himself, we don't have to go very far into the book of Matthew before we see that Jesus himself speaks about the reality of hell. Turn on over to Matthew chapter 5, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And this is a great message, probably the most powerful, comprehensive message that Jesus spoke. And it's all red letter in my Bible, so you have three chapters of mostly red letter words of Jesus. And in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 5, "For you have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca," that is a Hebrew word meaning empty head, "whoever says to his brother, Raca, empty head, shall be in danger of the council." In other words, you're going to face judgment if you say that against your brother. "And whoever says, you fool," again, that is a Hebrew expression of hateful anger or murderous anger. "Whoever says, you fool," in other words, in that day and time, just to call a person a fool brought a judgment against yourself because you were speaking a murderous intention or an angry intention against that person by calling him a fool. Well, compare that to today's language with Twitter and with Facebook and with all the media that we have and people throwing all kinds of negative judgments against each other and using words against each other that are very condescending, very angry, very hateful, calling each other names. Without that, social media would just die because that's about half of what you see on Twitter and on social media. But Jesus said, "Whoever says, you fool, shall also be in danger of hell fire." He didn't say you're going to be in danger of being banned from Facebook or being banned from Twitter. He said you will be in danger of hell fire. And so Jesus spoke of that early in his ministry at the Sermon on the Mount. And so anybody that says Jesus didn't speak of hell, I don't know what Bible they're reading. They're not reading the same Bible that I read, because Jesus, in the first message that he spoke, the first lengthy message that he spoke, the first sermon in the Bible, speaks of hellfire coming out of the words of Jesus. Well, did Jesus know the reality of hell? Of course he did. He was the Son of God. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that, starting in verse 8 through 11, that Jesus went down to hell when he was in the tomb, that he went down to hell. He preached to those in hell. He released the captives from hell. He took the captives up out of hell. It says he led captivity captive, and he led those captives up out of hell. And so, yes, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, he knew the reality of hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, the fallen angels that fell from heaven, and Satan himself, Lucifer, the Shining One. Hell was created for them as their place of abode, as their place when this time is up, when their time is up and this earth is finished. Hell is their place. The lake of fire will be their eternal abode. And God did not create it for man. For those who reject the message of the cross and reject the message of salvation and the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, hell will also be their abode, because Jesus says, if you speak these things and you think these things and you speak murderous anger, you don't have to go kill somebody, you just speak murderous anger and hatred towards somebody or call somebody a fool, that you will then be in danger of hellfire. Well, you don't want to be in danger of hellfire, beloved. You want to know that you're on the right side of the ledger. You want to know in that day of accounting that you have a home in heaven and you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can get right with him, and then you will know where your eternal destiny is at. Well, in Matthew 5:27, the very same chapter, Jesus is talking about lust and adultery. And he said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery." Men, check your eyes when you're looking at women. I know this is a difficult thing because us men, we like to look at beautiful women. And so that is the way God created women, to be beautiful. And we like to look at them. But men, check your eyes, because Jesus said, "I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You see, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. You don't have to go check into the hotel with that woman or any woman. It's a heart issue. What is going on in your heart and what is going on in your eye and in your mind? And verse 29, then Jesus said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Well, there's another description of what happens to you when sin, unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin is in your life. There's another description that Jesus Christ himself, the words of our Lord and Savior, says that your whole body will be cast into hell. And I don't recommend that you go and pluck your eye out. I don't recommend that you do that, because what Jesus is talking about here is not necessarily physically taking care of your eye and removing it from your body, although he made this illustration to show us the impact of sin in our life. He made this illustration to show us how serious the issue of sin is in our life. And so, men, we have to deal with this, and probably some women as well. Thoughts of adultery, lusting after people, and lusting after people of the opposite sex, or if you have another sin in your life of lusting after people of the same sex, it all falls in the same category. You need to repent of it. Please don't pluck your eye out. Repent of it. Get straight with the Lord. Get right with the Lord. Confess your sin and repent of it. Ask the Lord to forgive you, and then strive to do what is the right thing and stay in the good grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's twice already in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus has spoken about the reality of hell. Well, let's go on to Matthew 7. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Well, Jesus isn't talking about the gate into your garden. He's not talking about the gate into your compound or the gate into a gated community. What he's talking about is the gate to either heaven or the gate to hell. And he says the gate to hell is wide, but it leads to destruction. And beloved, you have to ask yourself today, are you on the road to destruction? Are you going toward that broad gate, that broad road, or are you on the road to the narrow gate and you are on the narrow path? Because Jesus says the broad road leads to destruction, and by that he means it leads to hell. It leads to that place where there is no light, where the worm never dies, and where there is eternal fire. And so that is the place that is broad. It's easy to get there. And those people are saying, "Well, I want to go to hell so I can party with my friends." If you've ever spoken that or even thought it, you repent of that, ask the Lord to forgive you of that, and rebuke and refute those words that came out of your mouth. You don't want to be in hell with your friends. You don't even want your friends to be there. And you do everything in your power to help keep your friends out of that place. And you speak the words of the Lord. You speak the words that have blessings to them. Bless your friends. Bless your enemies. Bless those who persecute you, and keep them and yourself out of that place of eternal torment. Well, Matthew 7, verse 17, same chapter, different verse, verse 17, Jesus says, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." So in other words, you can know people by their fruit. You look at their life, and we're fruit inspectors. Sometimes we have to judge people, not to condemn them, but to judge them in order to deal with their behavior or deal with their sin, especially people in leadership as pastors or elders in the church. You have to deal with people's behavior sometimes for church discipline. You're not condemning them by judging them. You're just looking at their fruit and saying, okay, what's going on? Something needs to be corrected here. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Well, that makes sense. That's just logic, and you don't see bad apples coming off of a good apple tree that's been fertilized and taken care of. You don't see bad bananas coming off a beautiful banana tree. And so in verse 19, then Jesus says, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Well, if you've ever managed an orchard, some of you have, listening to me, you've maybe had some fruit trees. And if you have a fruit tree out there and it's been in your orchard for 5 years or 6 years or 7 years, and maybe it blooms out, never sets fruit, or maybe it doesn't even bloom. Maybe it's the wrong sex. Sometimes trees have male and female. Sometimes trees need pollinated. Sometimes they might be in a frost-prone or freeze-prone area, and they can't get their blossoms pollinated. But you will not stay with that tree for years and years and years after it has been shown to you that it doesn't bear good fruit. You'll cut it down, plant something else, or get another variety of tree or something. You'll cut that tree down. And Jesus said that tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, he wasn't talking about the fire over in the corner of your orchard. He's talking about hellfire, a place of eternal damnation, a place of eternal condemnation, a place where the worm never dies. And so that is another description of hell there that Jesus spoke with his very own words. Well, in Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus talks about the children of the kingdom of Israel and non-believers. He said, "And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Well, praise God for that. That's where I'm going to be sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I hope you will be too. But then Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, "But the sons of the kingdom," he was in this situation talking about the kingdom of Israel, the sons of Israel, and the unbelievers, "but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so that's another description of hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Beloved, there will be no weeping in heaven. There will be no gnashing of teeth in heaven. People in heaven will have no tears. They will be rejoicing. They will be singing praise to the Lord. They will be dancing on streets of gold. They will be eating the finest food, and they'll have no sorrow. And so they will have no reason to weep and gnash their teeth. But in hell, it will be just the opposite. The people there in hell will be weeping and gnashing their teeth for all eternity. They will be crying out to Jesus for another chance. They will be crying out to their relatives and say, "Get right with the Lord, get right and turn your life over to the Lord." And so there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who are separated from God, separated from Jesus for all eternity. Well, one more description here, Mark 9. I'm going to read this very quickly. Words of Jesus, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. And so that's another description of Jesus used an illustration of cutting off a body part. If your hand is causing you, as in a thief, causing you to steal, or in some other way, if your hand is causing you, maybe you're dialing up pornography on your computer or on your smartphone, your hand is causing you to sin, beloved, get that right. Rebuke that hand. Rebuke that activity in your life. Get right with the Lord. Rebuke that sin in your life. Get right with the Lord and make it right in your life so you can stand before the Lord with a clean conscience and know that everything is okay in your life. And so Jesus Christ himself did speak of hell. Jesus Christ spoke of it over and over and over. And again, if you're one of those who believes in your universal salvation, that somehow we just have to be a good person and smile and be cheerful and be friendly and don't speak evil of other people. And if you believe that, you need to read your Bible. You need to get it out and just read the book of Matthew. If nothing else, Jesus speaks over and over about unquenchable fire, about a place of torment and a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message. It's not the most pleasant, as I said, but it is a powerful message, and it's one we need to take to heart to understand the kingdom of God. I hope you're in the kingdom of heaven. I hope you know without any doubt that you are saved today. If you make a decision to accept Jesus, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. We'll get you some literature, get you started on your Christian walk, and you will be blessed by the Lord. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to participate with this ministry, to bless this ministry with your donations. It takes money in Africa to minister the gospel. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, and you will be blessed, we will be blessed, and we can move forward in Africa with the kingdom of God. God bless you. Thank you again for listening. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.